This is John Kremshaw. A meeting of the PNB Personnel Committee is taking place at 6:12 p.m. California time. The meeting is called to order. And Madam Secretary, will you please take the roll?
All right. Teresa Allen is present. Janet Coleman?
Present.
Thank you, Janet. John Kremshaw?
Present.
Thank you, John. Janice Lane Ewart?
Present.
Thank you, Janice. Lizette King?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Lizette. Tracy Rosenberg? I'm not hearing Tracy. Mr. Chair, I've got five people acknowledging one not.
Teresa, would you be able to just call Tracy and check with her and see if she's about to join us? Maybe she's still working on the video situation there.
I'll try, but I don't have very good reception on my mobile in the house.
Why don't I send her an email?
Okay, right. Excellent. That would be good. Okay, because she may still be working out some details with Charlie about the video stream. Okay, we have the first item is the approval of the agenda. So everyone should have received the agenda. Did everyone get that? I sent it out this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I received it.
All right, and the agenda items, for the purposes of the stream, I'm going to just read the items. Room number one, call to order and roll call, which we have done. Item two is approval of the agenda. Item three is approval of the minutes. Item four is the ED search. Part A is SurveyMonkey update, phase one. Under that, one, paper and pencil preliminaries, John Kremshaw will report on that. Two, formal analysis, Janice Lane Ewart will report on that. Then B, under ED search, phase two, video candidate interviews, video conferencing, Tracy Rosenberg will talk about that. I think we have experienced what that would be like. Then item, Roman numeral five, old business. Number one, under that, PNB PD search motion, ED salary range. And item number two, handbook, Tracy Rosenberg will talk about that. And then item number three, general counsel search. And then item number six, under new business, create ED search questions on SurveyMonkey. And this is what we briefly done last time. And then item number seven, next scheduled meeting, 9/9/2013, and then item seven, action items, and then item nine, adjourned. And that would be the agenda for the purposes of the stream so that people have that information.
Now, I move that we approve the agenda.
Second. Okay.
All right, without objection then?
Without correct.
Objection, the agenda has been approved. All right. Now, the next item is approval of the minutes. Do we have minutes, Madam Secretary?
Yes, I sent the I've only done two of the minutes, and the
okay.
one, the meeting from July 8th, I have not done.
Okay.
But I have the minutes from June 10th and July 22nd, and I sent them out again, and I've sent them out originally.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Tracy. Okay, and when did you send that, Teresa, the most recent? When was that again?
I sent these out about an hour ago,
okay.
And the June minutes I sent out on July 8th, and the June 22nd minutes I sent out on the 22nd.
Okay, so let's see. July 22nd. I don't see that. Let's go to the first one that you said. You said July 7th, right? That you sent it July 7th?
I sent it out on July the 8th.
July 8th, okay. Would you have been in attachment?
I sent the minutes, on the 22nd.
I don't seem to find it. I don't know why. I'm looking under July 8th, and I have a draft agenda forward. Let me see. Could that possibly be it? Personnel committee meeting Monday.
Well, this is Tracy. I saw an agenda. I didn't see the minutes for what it's worth. So, Teresa, maybe you should dig around and see if you can resend them.
That would be good. I think that's a good suggestion. That would work. I think that if you
would. Well, I'm looking at my sent items of July the 8th, and I sent out the minutes of June 10th on July the 8th. I sent them.
Yeah, I don't seem to have it.
And I sent them an hour again. I'll send them again. I'll send them again, but I sent them to you an hour ago.
Okay.
Okay.
And I didn't get the latest one. So let's
send them again.
Can we dispense with the the approval of the minutes until we all have them in front of us? Would that be all right with everybody?
No.
Yes.
I received them.
You have them with
them? At the time she sent them today. There's two attachments. I received them. It's an attachment for June 10th and July 22nd.
Okay,
and it's a draft minutes,
okay.
And she sent them to...
I have that, yeah.
Okay, so they're around.
But
I don't have it, but... that's all right.
Yes, she sent it at 7:18 Central Time tonight to Lizette, John, Tracy, Janet, and myself. And her and Teresa's signature.
And Lizette, I hope.
Yes, and Lizette.
Okay, well, if there's enough of the committee has them and is willing to vote on them, John.
I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You know.
I'm sending them to the people that say that they did not receive them. I'm sending them again.
Okay,
great.
Okay.
That's fine. Appreciate that. Okay, so that looks okay to me, and I think that makes perfect sense to just say that we will go ahead with our
agenda.
Agenda. I'm trying to multitask, you know, as speak and look at the computer at the same time, and sometimes it's challenging.
Yes. Can I just have a point of information? Are we we're streaming now, correct? Bill put us on the stream? Okay, good.
Yes.
Because there was some PNB kerfluffles.
Yes, you're streaming.
I would like
thank
to
you, Bill.
Entertain the motion then for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
All right, and...
I would second it with the understanding that we're approving the minutes of June 10th and July 22nd.
I believe that is accurate. And without objection? Okay, so the minutes have been approved. No objection voiced. So we'll go on then to Roman numeral 4 on our agenda, which is the ED search. And part A is the SurveyMonkey update, which was phase one. And everybody should have received the paper and pencil preliminaries that I sent out, the old-fashioned way of analyzing data by putting it on a piece of paper. Did everyone get that?
I did. Yes.
Okay.
What are you looking for? Sorry.
I sent out a preliminary analysis listing the... that there were seven candidates that had gotten three or more lists.
Right.
And that the more formal analysis would come from Janice Lane Hewitt. So,
which I sent out today.
Okay.
Right.
And
the data is pretty much the same on both lists, right? We're dealing with seven people on three or more lists.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
That is due in large part to the fact that I had an eraser on the end of my pencil, and so it was possible to correct any any discrepancies until I got it right. It wasn't that difficult, really, because it was fairly straightforward. We had 10 names on lists. And I would like to suggest that if we, the committee is okay with going with the seven names that emerged on the three lists or more, we would have our A2 candidates ready for the next phase, which would be the interview and would be the video conferencing, making sure that all the paperwork was accurate, making sure that they were still interested in being in the pool and in working out details to make sure that we were prepared to begin the interview process.
Can I be on the stack on this one? Because I have a question.
Yes.
If we want to sort of sing in somebody's behalf that hasn't been mentioned in some way, if anybody has a strong feeling about some candidate that wasn't chosen by some sort of acclamation, since we only have seven candidates, may we also add to that list?
Well, it's only a suggestion that we would do seven, and I aimed to be objective when I set up the criteria before I made any selection or evaluation, and thought that three, if anyone appeared on three lists, it would be fair to include those people. Now, as far as expansion, I'm not sure how that would be affected, but I would like to hear from anybody. That's a good suggestion to see.
Teresa for the staff.
Here. Yes, Teresa.
I think that my criteria were different than yours.
Exactly.
Who's?
And John.
Mm.
Okay. And my criteria possibly were different than anyone else's. I know several of the candidates, and from my experience, and probably the same with you. I really would like to have more than seven candidates, if at all possible, because I think that, John, you told me that radio experience was like almost essential for your criteria, and I put some people on my list that maybe didn't have radio experience. So we would never have found a match that way. So
well, we weren't looking at that point for a match. We were simply looking for each person to put in criteria that was important to him or her.
Right.
And people who appeared on those lists really were independently judged based on what the person who was making the listing decided was important. Mm-hmm. And that was the most open possibility. And then I think what we'd want to do at this point would be to decide what other things would be in there, and that would be something that would come about with the survey and other questions.
Well,
and that's where all that would be considered.
Well, when you say that one candidate was on six lists and four were on four and two were on two, you've seen those people, right? I haven't.
What do you mean you've seen
I sent
the entire registration of person's vote to you in a PDF a little over 2 hours ago.
So we should know who these people are without having a problem about it.
What's the title? What is the title of your email, Janet?
This is Janice, not Janice.
I'm sorry, Janice. I'm sorry.
And it says Survey Monkey. Survey Monkey. No, sorry, that's not right. It's because I didn't send it to myself.
Okay, I found it.
Yeah.
I was looking at ED Search Phase 1, and it didn't have any names on it, so.
I'm so sorry, Janice, but what time did you send this?
At 6:42 p.m. Central Time.
Oh, okay.
Go.
And it says, here are the results from SurveyMonkey. And you should see...
Okay. Right.
The attachment.
Yeah. I already downloaded it. I just...
Janice?
Yeah.
Janice?
Yes, Janice?
Janice?
We're having a hard time hearing if you're asking for Janice or Janet.
Janice.
This is Janice.
Yeah, you sent us something you said, and where did you send it to me, you know?
Yes, I sent it to you at your email address, that is Luzette_King@hotmail.com.
Right, okay.
I don't have any names on mine at all.
Yes, you do. You need to scroll through the whole document. There are 6 pages.
I'm doing that, and I'm not seeing any names.
Me either.
Okay, let me resend it to everyone again.
Okay.
It says candidate 100% 6, candidate 100% 6, no name.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Okay, let me send it to, that's the wrong document. I opened mine up, and I could see it, and I'm not sure why that happened with you, but I'll see it send it again.
Okay, good.
Okay,
good. Say responses all.
Okay.
Okay. This is Tracy for the staff. In the meantime, just about the process,
yes.
not about the form.
Yes.
So I understand that people want to look at the specifics, and of course we're being streamed, so no names are being mentioned. You know, we would have to go to closed if we wanted to have that
That's
conversation.
Right, exactly correct.
But, I mean, it seems to me two things. The first is that, you know, ideally, I think that if 3 members of the committee considered this person one of their top 10, that's not a bad way to vouch for the fact that the person actually has some broad base of support on the committee. So there's a way in which doing that is sort of a check against going to all the trouble of interviewing candidates that really nobody supports, except maybe for one person that really supports them incredibly strongly. But that said, because the number is 7 and not 12, which it might have been if we had less consensus over who we thought were the stronger candidates, and it looks like we had a lot of consensus, which is great. But since the number is only 7, I think, yeah, it is possible to consider that if someone has a really strong feeling that there's a candidate not on this list that should be, that potentially we could add 1 or 2, but we would have to go to closed session to have that discussion.
And may I say something about that, please? This would be extremely important, because I think that any selection process has to be completely objective. As I said, I set up my criteria before I began and decided what it seemed to me would be a reasonable cutoff point of 3, because I thought, well, if half of the committee has voted, not voted, has included this person, it would be a very reasonable way to narrow the field. 7 candidates is, in some sense, an ideal number, because if we were to go through this phase with 7, and let's just say, I'm only suggesting as a possibility, not anything other than that, but let's say that 2 were eliminated in this first phase, and then we have 5, and then we go, 5 semifinalists, and then from that 5, we selected 3, we would have our finalists in 2 more rounds. 1 round with all 7, and then 1 round with, say, 5, it could be 6, and then at that point, 3, we would present to the PMD for the in-person meeting. So it would make a simplified process and a more direct process.
Can I be on the stack, Janet?
Yes, Janet.
Uh-huh. Well, in terms of, that's a bad expression, to have a larger pool of candidates, It's really more to really understand. We had 67, is it, candidates?
Something like that.
Applications.
Yeah.
I don't think that if one or two people spoke out for an individual that wasn't, you know, striking to a group, might still have, you know, might have been ignored. Could be some sort of a sleeper or some. I just think that we should, in expanding our pool, we don't really hurt ourselves. We know more people who have significant resumes or experience or personality that we should know about, I think, you know? And I don't think it's harmful to have more at this stage. You know, we can discuss it afterwards, but I think we should have some time to talk about why, even discussing why one or another of us might be interested or partial to one, will say something about what we value here in a candidate. You know, so I don't think it's harmful. I think it's educational.
Okay. Anyone else in the stack?
Yeah, this is Tracy for the stack.
Tracy.
Okay. Just as a process point, if people want to do that, then I would suggest, because I think we need to, you know, we need to be aware of sort of keeping this process moving, is that perhaps what we should do is have an agreement that the seven people that are in are in, you know, who were on three or more of the top 10. And then we should plan to go to executive session when this meeting is over and give ourselves the option of adding one or two more individuals after that conversation. But I would want to get out of this meeting tonight with who our set of interviewees are.
Okay, good.
I would like to add to that I think that if we add one, we have to add the entire group to be fair. Not to have.
No, we don't.
I'm expressing what I think.
I'll be quiet.
In order to be fair, then the same objective criteria has to be established so that everybody is given the same opportunity. And we would simply say that people who got two or more were on two or more lists would be included. And then at that point, we would follow through the same process. I can't easily access the list. And my handwritten list isn't there, but I think...
Right, because the question there would be how many more people would that...
Tracy, I'm not finished.
Yeah.
Janice, I don't think I can access my list. I don't have the list right in front of me, but I believe that on the list that... If we were to expand it, I think we would expand it to another, maybe expanding it to another 12 people. Is that correct, those who were listed on?
Yes, that would be.
Another 12 people?
I believe so.
We would have a total of 12 people.
Oh, wow.
May I go on, please?
Is that accurate, Janice?
I think it is. I'm looking at the results from the SurveyMonkey, and I can count that up in just a minute.
Okay.
I would just go on record as suggesting that we, having a candidate who was chosen by two of six people does not represent a majority of our group. And I think that we'll find during the interviewing process of seven people, if there are candidates who don't rise above at that juncture, we could go back to others who receive two votes. However, at this juncture, I'm open to the conversation in the executive session. However, I think the process that's been posed represents the majority of the individuals who had a chance to make some determination, and I'd like to stick with that, particularly because of the time element and because I find that to have been democratic.
Thank you, Janice. Is there anyone
Teresa
else in the stack?
Teresa,
yes, Teresa. Uh-huh.
I do in some way like, I mean, I do want to definitely, I mean, I haven't seen the list yet. I still don't know who we have.
It was just sent to everybody again.
It's not there, Janice. It's not there. I've scrolled down and there's not.
I'll send it under a separate cover. I just got mine again, but I'll try it again.
I have mine, but how
there's
what?
An attachment, right?
What is all
you
this?
Have to open it up.
Okay.
What does this do here? What does it tell? ED selection. It has each member's ballot is on here?
That's correct.
Oh, okay. 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 That's interesting.
So you did receive it, Janet. I don't need to send
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, Lucette, are you the only one who's...
No. I just noticed there's an attachment. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That seems to be in order that we would just move ahead to the further discussion.
Teresa, I'm sorry, I didn't finish what I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
Okay. I do want to say that now I see the list. I did receive it. I would like, if Janet has someone that she wants to discuss, I would like to hear her arguments for this person in executive session because we had over 60 candidates and we never did discuss criteria before we picked people. And the third reason is that, there's four reasons. One, it's been a number of months since some of these people applied. Some of these people applied back in January. They may have found other positions. They might not be available now. So what we think is seven candidates might actually be a lot fewer. And there was another reason. Not only that I think it's just good to... Oh, and because I was told that I was under the impression we were going to have 10. We're going to have a list of 10.
Well, that was a preliminary estimate on my part of what optimistically we might be able to expect. And we had also said that it was possible that with six people picking 10, we could pick 10 different people and end up with 60. So I was just giving a ballpark and saying an optimistic estimate of the narrowing of the list would be 10. That was not anything other than just a speculation to what possibly could happen. It was not anything absolute because I had no way of knowing what would have happened. All right.
Now,
so,
I saw a list of 10 names. Janice, on my list, I see a list of 10 names.
And if you scroll down, you will see five other 10 names.
Uh-huh, okay. Some of these are the same.
I think we're getting
further away from what we wanted to accomplish just in the non-executive session. And I believe what I've heard is that we would entertain additional conversation in the closed session about the possibility of adding someone pertinent to who the person might be. If that's not a good summary of what I've heard, then...
Having additional candidates. I don't want to say in the open session something that I believe would be inaccurate. So I would not want to limit it. I would just say adding additional candidates. I think that might be a more accurate way to have people understand in the open session what we would be doing.
Well, they should also understand in the open session that we chose 10 because that was the way SurveyMonkey operated. We didn't say, let's choose 10, did we? I don't remember
that.
No,
what happened is that I recommended that we pick 10.
Oh.
That was my recommendation, which the committee approved.
Approved, right.
And I recommended 10, noting that we could end up with 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
We could end up with 60 people. We didn't know what would happen, but that would be one way of at least indicating in our own minds ways that we felt these people would be suitable. And
mm-hmm.
I think Tracy expressed it very nicely last time, which was that these were people that we wanted to hear more from. And I think that was a pretty good statement of what that process would be.
Mm-hmm.
So, Janet,
and that's what we agreed upon.
Yes.
We did take a vote, and there was agreement
at that
meeting that that's what we would do.
Okay.
So unless there's something further about this issue that we want to discuss in open session, I would recommend that we hold off on anything further until we get to a closed session.
Okay.
Is that all right with everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Then, hearing no objection, let's move on to the second part, which would be Phase 2. This is D under the ED search. Phase 2, video candidate interviews, video conferencing, Tracy Rosenberg. So, Tracy, we went through that experiment tonight to see how it would be. Can you talk a bit about what you would see in our Phase 2 interviews with the candidates via video conferencing? Tracy, are you there? Tracy, are you there? Let me go forward with my conversation just to restate some of the things that Tracy and I talked about in setting this up. We want to get a better idea of how it would work when we're working on it as a committee so that we can work out any glitches and make sure that when we do interview candidates that it would go as smoothly as possible. And the people understand, of course, that there may be problems during any kind of live electronic transmission, but we will make the best of it and try to move forward. Is there anything that anyone else would want to add until Tracy joins us about that or has something additional to say about the video conferencing idea of seeing what we did tonight and any input that you might have?
John, I think separately we may have discussed, you and I, the process being similar to what was conducted with the CFO process, where there'd be the same questions asked of each of the candidates that we would be sensitive to not asking a very discreet question and separate and discreet question of one candidate that we didn't ask of others. We haven't talked yet about the follow-up process. Should someone be asked, is that gray? And they say, well, it's gray and blue, and then what do we do at that juncture?
Right.
We've not gotten to that element.
Well, I think that that will probably be more appropriate when we get into the creation of the questions that we're going to use, and I believe it might be best to discuss it during the executive session just to get some of the parameters worked out.
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. Then are there any other comments about this this issue having to do with the search process or the video conferencing?
Do you think that This is Teresa. Do you think that we can overcome the problems of that it took us about 25 minutes to get set up?
I think Tracy would have more information about that, but what we
I could answer
learned
that.
I think tonight from Charlie is that it would get that. Go ahead, Janice.
I can answer that. It's in processes, in situations, and Lucette, who said she's used this often too, may also agree with this. Getting all of us together 15 to 20 minutes before the first interview comes on board guarantees that all of the committee members are in place and all the technical aspects are worked out, so that we are then just adding one individual every 45 minutes, so to speak.
Good.
And that cuts mm-hmm. down on the technical constraints.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And I would suggest that we might be able to work out something. My thought is that if we had an hour, then we would be able to not only interview the people, but also to make our comments when they're fresh in our minds on a SurveyMonkey type input system, so that we would be able to move forward and at the same time have recorded what we thought our immediate impressions were at the time. So that would be...
Question, are you saying that we will have a tape of this video with no problem? Did Charlie address that?
Yes, he did.
Tracy, yes.
Okay.
Tracy said she was recording tonight.
Okay.
And that she was able to see it.
Good.
Yes. So, is there anything further we should talk about concerning the video conferencing?
Yes, hi, this is Tracy. Sorry, I stepped off the phone call for a second or two. I want to hear feedback, and yeah.
What would you say would be the process that we would follow if we have candidates and we're going to interview them, let's say, hourly, we're all on the stream beforehand? How would you see that going, and how can this process be improved so that it gets smoother?
Okay, well, it seems to me that now that we all know how to answer a Google Hangout, invite, is that typically when we turn to doing the interviews, we would probably get together on the phone stream first, announce that what we're doing tonight is interviewing, four candidates, and then get off the stream, get on the computer, and we would get all of ourselves on the call. I think as we did when we did interviews on the national level, we'd probably designate one or two people to ask questions of the candidates, and the rest of us would just stay on mute. And we would have that dialogue and preserve a videotape of it that would be available to the rest of the board, and also to ourselves if we wanted to refresh ourselves about a candidate. And we would do three or four of those in a session. And that's how we would do the interview process. And then I would assume that we could archive those little movies somewhere. So if members of the PNB wanted to see some of the longer interviews, they would be able to do so. And we would also have a record of our, of our contacts with each candidate. So that's kind of what I was thinking. Are there questions, concerns? People think that won't work?
I think we just wanted to know from your standpoint, because you had the most experience in terms of setting this up tonight, how it went and what the prospects would be for it to go more smoothly in the future. That, I think you've answered that.
Can I say something?
Yes, of course.
Yes. From my experience, these things are very, very sensitive. And I think one of the things we have to be very aware of is to not have background noises, because it does pick up and it can be off-putting.
A good point. Maybe Lucette, we can work on putting together some recommendations, and then make sure that all the committee members have those so that we can make the best possible adjustment. Is there anybody else who would like to weigh in on this, or shall we move on to the next item?
I'd like to move on if we could, please.
Okay, let's do that then. I'm sorry.
One other point. The only thing I would
yes,
say,
yes,
Janice,
yes?
I opened the email and I downloaded this stuff, but I haven't seen any names. What I see here is some tables.
There are two. The last message that I sent, Luzette, at 8:28 p.m. is a document that is headed. The header says responses_all_1308_12.
Okay,
well,
that's
the
document you should
be...
Sorry, I didn't get that one. Sorry.
I'll send it to you now.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
This is Tracy,
Tracy?
Yeah.
Did you cover what you wanted to cover on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one more piece, if I could. It'll be fast. Okay.
Of course.
Yeah, I think that basically the way that it would work is we would get ourselves settled on the teleconference line as we did today, hopefully a bit faster, which I think that we will. That was the point of the test. And then at that point, once we're all settled in there, we would then send an invite to the candidate to join us.
Can I say something else? There's an email from Serene asking for the coordinates of the closed session that will soon begin.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
There is an email from Serene asking for, I'll read the email, I haven't been able to follow this committee's work as closely as I'd like, but hear that you all are up to the point of narrowing the list of ED candidates. Please send me the coordinates of the closed session that will soon begin.
No, the closed session would be for members of the committee. So, please, let's go forward with this. Are there other items to be brought up as far as the ED? We've covered the video conferencing, and what I'd like to do is to move on to old business, if we can, which is Roman numeral 5. Is that acceptable to everyone?
Yes.
All right. Hearing no objection, then let's go on. And the first one has to do with a PNB PD search motion regarding ED salary range. And that ED salary range is something that we had discussed. We're not going to discuss it directly now on the stream, but we know that we had made a motion that gave the salary range. And what we want to do is to be able to let the candidates know. And I had said the semifinalists, which would be, I think, the group before the final three, and we can discuss how that would be. But we have to get approval by the PNB to give that salary range. So we should do what is necessary to move it up in the agenda in order to make sure that the PNB does give us that okay.
Yes.
Any thoughts on that? Any input or anything further that we should say? Or okay. Hearing nothing about that, I would like to have Tracy Rosenberg talk to us about the handbook, because Tracy has compiled some of the information, or all of the information that we've received, and would be able to report out on that search, on the handbook. So, Tracy.
Okay. Let me just reiterate briefly where we are, which is that the PNB sent the handbook drafts back to the Personnel Committee and asked us to solicit some feedback, take a look at it, and then at some point send it back to them, whether modified or not. We did go through a feedback process. It wasn't, There wasn't a humongous amount of participation, but the period of time was fairly extensive, and we ended up with about 10 comments on the record. So what I did is I went through those comments and pulled out of them what seemed like changes that we could make, and I made sort of a short list of them, which I sent to all of you. I'm in transit right now, so someone may need to pull that document out in order to kind of talk us through it if we're going to do this tonight. But my hope was that we could see if these changes made sense and potentially as a committee conclude that we wanted to make them, all of them, some of them, or neither of them. And then with whatever changes, core modifications, you know, get this thing back in the full board queue. And I have, you know, a strong feeling that keeping this moving is something that we kind of need to do, because we do pay a price for having a personnel handbook from 1996 in terms of a lot of the clauses in it being so wildly out of date that they tend to come back to haunt us in litigation type situations, which we don't have a lot of right now, but it would be nice to have a handbook from this century when we do. So I don't know, is anyone in a position? I think there were six modifications. It's a Word document called six suggestions, and if someone has that in front of them and can read them out, we can go through them fairly quickly. And I will also tell you the pieces of feedback that didn't result in a suggestion, mostly because they were not real specific. They were specific about what they didn't like, but not specific about what they wanted to change things to.
Do you remember when approximately you sent that, Tracy? I'm looking for it.
I think it was about a week ago. I think it was about a week ago. If you want to give me a second, I might be able to get to a stopping point and pull it out. I know I've gotten it on my desktop. Why don't I plan to do that?
I have...
No. It's okay.
Let me see.
Okay, I might be able to just pull it out in a second. I just need to find somewhere to stop. I tried to sit on someone's stoop, and they don't like that.
Yeah, you can't sit on the stoop in California. You can only sit on porches.
I'm telling you, well, it's like private property.
It's only in New York. It's only in New York. I used to sit on stoops in New York, and it's only in New York that you can sit on a stoop.
I know. People are like, it's my property. Why are you sitting here? Anyway.
No, but I'm talking about the word stoop as opposed to porch.
Right. There aren't that many stoops anymore in New York.
Hell no.
Just watch somewhere.
Barely a stoop.
Okay, I think this will work.
All right,
so it's called Six Suggestions. And there it is. Okay, give me a second here. All right, so some are of more import than the other. I didn't sort of I didn't put them in any order relating to the magnitude of the change. But this is what's being suggested, so let me just tell you what they are. The first is to cut language that says, in a manner contrary to Pacifica's best interests, from some of the blogging and social media policy pages. The first one is on social media, the second one is on blogging policy, and the reason for that, the first set of languages is in a manner contrary to Pacifica's best interest, the other says is not detrimental to Pacifica's interest, was a considerable amount of feedback that language was just too flugy, nobody knew what it meant, and that basically our workers felt that if we couldn't define it more clearly, that it shouldn't be in there. There is language that relates to confidential information. There's language that relates to libeling and defaming people. And then there was just sort of this basket clause called best interests. So what we're doing is removing the basket clause. Because frankly, people were suspicious because they didn't feel it was concrete enough. So that's changes 1 and 2. One is to remove it from the social media section. The other is to remove it from the blogging policy section. And again, all of these changes are both to the volunteer handbook and to the paid handbook. They're just on different pages.
Okay.
So the third one is the volunteer handbook only. We were asked to add the following. Volunteers are required to track their hours worked if asked by their unit manager to do so. And that would be added to the personnel records section. And the reason for that is because the bylaws link voting rights to working a certain number of hours within a certain period as a programming volunteer or as a non-fund drive room volunteer. And in the past, we've always had issues about how do we know that someone has worked 30 hours in the past 3 months or 30 hours in the last year or whatever it is. And in truth, at this point, we really don't, but at some point in the future, there might be some sort of time card type system. And so the idea is to put into the personnel handbook some way to record hours if asked to do so.
Put me on the stack, don't it?
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Ordinarily, in a previous month, we at WBAI might have not made a deal about the distinction between a volunteer and a producer, or, yeah, it would have been an actual function. And now, because everyone is fired, basically, we have a different configuration of people who may not be producers. Maybe they're just volunteers who are doing airtime. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what constitutes a volunteer anymore. There are people who are trying to suggest that the word producer isn't relevant anymore and that only volunteers should be used. And so this is a swishy, squishy distinction here. And
it is.
Yeah. And it'll make it even harder when election time comes around if the issue of volunteers and listeners and producers are so blurred that, you know, it's confusing.
Yeah, I kind of agree, and there's part of me that says I don't know what language exactly you could put in here that would entirely fix that. What I will say is what the bylaws tell us is that people who answer the phones during pledge drive don't vote as staff for those hours. But anything and everything besides that is really unclear.
Right, and since we don't have people answering the phones anymore, it's really, nobody has a real vested interest in that particular interest group, and it was one, I think, properly.
Yeah. Well, let me go on to the others and put out if you can think of language that would address that.
Okay.
You know, we could certainly put it out there. Off the top of my head, I feel a little like bigger problem than, you know, that particular thing, but yeah, I mean, maybe there's a way to do it.
Big where I live.
I know. All right. Number four. Well, this is more unpaid staff. There was a request to change the title of the Pacifica Handbook from what we were working with, which was Pacifica Handbook Volunteer or Volunteer Handbook, to say Pacifica Handbook Volunteer Workers, and to call the paid Pacifica Handbook Paid Workers. In other words, to use the word workers in both titles.
Mm-hmm. For what it's problematic, though, I have heard that may be difficult by identifying people.
Okay. Yeah. The feedback that we had was that the term unpaid staff was problematic in this for personnel policy use, not in other ways, but on this kind of a handbook.
Why?
And that was lawyers. I don't know.
Why?
So the idea of volunteer workers was to say, look, I can't, you know, we've been told we can't call it an unpaid staff handbook. That we can't do, but we could call it something else. So they felt that volunteer workers was better than just volunteer hands.
Well, I wouldn't. I would say just eliminating workers might accomplish the same thing. Volunteers.
Well, it might. It kind of leaves us with where we were, and people felt like it didn't express enough respect, I guess, is what it was.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what other definition you'd give to an individual who's providing a service and support to an organization and is not being paid. That's a fairly universal term, and the issue regarding its value may be personally internal.
Well,
yeah.
You know, volunteer producers, people who are on air, provide content, and they have different legal issues. And those would have to be noted, really, if you're going to do a serious handbook here.
Yeah. There is some stuff about content in the volunteer handbook, very specifically. What I would say in response to what John said is that we were not told that the term volunteer workers was problematic. We were told that the term unpaid staff was problematic. So I
who is the we who told us? Who are you talking about? People who communicated to us?
Yeah,
I'm talking about John Kriegler. That's who I'm talking about.
Who,
John Kriegler?
He's a well-known attorney.
I know who he is. I just wanted to know whether you said his name.
Yeah.
She didn't say his name.
I mean, the feedback that he had provided was you don't want to use unpaid staff handbook.
Well, I'd like to know why.
Well, I could hazard a guess. I'm not an attorney. Anytime you say the word staff, it connotes that there's some financial relationship taking place between an entity and a person.
Right. I'm not aware that the word worker has the same legal connotation, although it has many of the connotations of respect and status that I think is what motivated the comment. So for what it's worth, and if this dies, it dies. That's okay. But what this was an attempt to kind of split the distance and deal with the respect issues without tripping over the legal issues. So it was an attempt to find a middle way and call it something that would address some of the lack of respect issues that apparently were pretty deeply felt. However valid people may feel that it is or isn't, the comment came up several times from several different people, so it is a felt thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to go on. We can consider. All right, number five.
I have one question.
Yeah.
So are you saying, well, what did we agree on this one?
We haven't agreed on anything. I'm just laying them out and trying to explain them as best I can.
Okay,
so you guys can decide.
And definitely we don't want to use the word employee then, employee handbook.
No.
Okay.
No. We don't. Okay, so the fifth change was to add a please minimize or refrain from the use of such products in dress and grooming standards, and that related to perfume and highly scented products. And it was an
attempt. You've got to be kidding me.
Okay, let me finish. I'm just telling you what the feedback was. There's a reference in the handbook to, you know, people that are highly sensitive to those kinds of products, and there was a desire that we sort of bump up the language a bit to ask people to refrain or minimize from the use of such products. There are people that are sensitive to such products and concerned about it. So that was put out, and the wording that we would add is to minimize or refrain from the use of perfume and highly scented.
This is Teresa for the staff.
Yes, go ahead, please.